Hi, thank you all so much for being here. What a great turnout. I'm really excited to be on this amazing panel, and I'm going to talk to you a little bit more about interpersonal sexual health communication and how it kind of affects people's subsequent decision making during sexual acts. My name's Dr. Margot Milenix. I'd like to give a quick shout out to Dr. Susie Hoffman, who's been a great help in kind of thinking through some of the ideas I'm going to present with you today. I have no conflicts of interest to report. So I just want to give you a kind of quick background and then dive in really to the research that I'm talking about. As we all know, sexually transmitted infections really continue to be a public health issue that we're working on. And this is especially true for emerging adult populations, where we really see the burden of STIs in terms of new infections. Current approaches within the public health community are really centered on the idea of promoting testing. And you can see this through a lot of the kind of popular campaigns that have been going on in the past few years, trying to get people to prevent STIs by linking them to testing services. Unfortunately, we're really having limited success. So people are still continuing to not access services. And in fact, this is the least type of preventative services that a young emerging adult woman access. So what I would like to argue is part of the way that we can kind of overcome some of these barriers to getting people to testing is to think about it from an interpersonal perspective. So traditionally, when we think about access to testing, we think about individual barriers, we think about stigma and disclosure, and I'd like to push the bounds of this a little bit more to think about the way that decisions around testing are enacted in a couple, in a sexual dyad. A big part of this, as some people have touched on today, is communication around sexual health. So we've talked a lot about how communication is important, but I think we're still really lacking understanding about what people are talking about, how they're talking about it, when these conversations are taking place. And again, as some of the previous presenters have kind of narrowed in on this kind of gap in our understanding. So the aim of the research I'm going to talk about today was to map communication strategies around three main topics. So I'm going to kind of walk you through these topics in the results. And these topics are based upon the kind of basic guidelines, recommendations for who should be getting tested. So looking at whether or not within a sexual couple people are talking about STI testing, if they're talking about their sexual history, and if they're talking about any type of concurrent partnerships. The aim of the study was to document both kind of what people are talking about, but also how these conversations are either promoting or inhibiting effective decision making around subsequent decisions, such as whether or not to use a condom or whether or not just to engage in sexual activity with a partner. So I'm going to go over the methods briefly before kind of trying to spend most of the time on the results. So there was targeted recruitment that took place at a Midwestern State University and the local community college. All of the participants in this qualitative study were heterosexually active women between the ages of 18 and 25. To be eligible, they must have had vaginal intercourse in the past 3 months and have been raised in the United States. I used systematic ethnographic sampling because I was really interested in these interpersonal dynamics. And so I sampled based upon relationship status. So I qualified the women who contacted me with interest to participate in their interviews and whether or not they were single. So these are people who are sexually active but identify as being single. If they're in a new relationship, which is something that has been going on for less than a year, or if they were in a long-term relationship, which was a relationship that had been going on for longer than 1 year. A semi-structured interview guide was used to collect the data. Interviews lasted about 1.5 hours. And there were three kind of main topic domains. So the interview guides had one lead-off question, and then based on the semi-structured nature, there were different follow-up questions based upon what participants told me. The three kind of main overarching domains were their partner interactions, their contraceptive use, and their STI kind of prevention. Data analysis followed a critical qualitative research orientation, and so a kind of example of the way I did analysis is using meaning fields, which is when you kind of break down and really try and get an in-depth understanding about what participants are telling you. And I'm going to provide you with some kind of examples of quotes from the participants in this presentation. So thinking about what people are talking about with their sexual partners. First, I want to tell you a little bit about the women who were a part of this study. They were all young women between the ages of 18 and 24. Half of the participants were from the local community college, half of them were for the state university, and one participant was not participating in higher education, who was recruited through word of mouth with another participant. The majority of the participants were white, and seven identified as belonging to a minority group. In terms of relationship status, eight of the participants identified as single, eight in new relationships, and nine were in long-term relationships. Thinking about the testing practices among the participants, about half of them had actually been tested for an STI. Across the board, that was only at one point in time in their life. Of the participants who had not been tested, several of them told me that they had never thought about being tested before. Several of them told me that they weren't worried about STIs and they would not be tested ever. And then there were a few participants who said, oh, I've been meaning to do that, I know I should. And no participant ever mentioned during the course of the interview that a partner had disclosed an STI to them, and during no interviews did participants disclose an STI to me. So thinking about what they were talking about, of these participants who had been tested for an STI, they did actually engage in conversations with their sexual partners about this testing practice. However, and I'll show you an example, they had extremely vague conversations that really lacked any types of detail. So this is an example from Jill, who was 19 and in a new relationship, and she's telling me about how she talked to her partner about whether or not they had been tested. She says, he said he got a test, I'm not completely sure and I'm not going to really press it, but I mean, I would hope that you know he didn't lie to me. He was like, no, I've gotten tested. I'm like, okay, well, and I really wasn't sure what questions to ask at that point either. So you can tell, even though they're having a conversation about testing, it's really lacking any type of kind of concrete information. No woman mentioned to me any other detail within a conversation other than this fact of establishing if someone had had a test. It was often referred to as establishing that they were clean. That's how they saw kind of the goal of these conversations. Thinking about conversations about sexual history, for several of the participants, their current partner was their first actual major relationship. It was their first sexual partner. So in terms of talking about sexual history, the focus of the conversations was establishing virginity. And so what they wanted to talk about was making sure that their partner, that they were a virgin, that they established if their partner was a virgin, what virginity meant, what types of behaviors they had engaged in. And this is really kind of what talking about sexual history meant for them. In contrast, the women who had multiple partners really had trouble talking about sexual history, and they had this idea that really the more partners you have means the higher risk your STI transmission was. So these conversations really focused on establishing kind of the number of partners, with seeing, wanting to make sure that they hadn't had a lot of partners. And so you can see this exemplified in Sarah's words. This is an 18-year-old who's in a long-term relationship. And she says, yes, I was nervous at first. I asked him if he'd been with a lot of people because I didn't want to catch anything. He hasn't been with a lot of people, so I wasn't nervous after that. So you can see really the goal is establishing just kind of the quantity of partners, and that's a marker for whether or not they're a high-risk partner or not. Only two participants reported that they asked anything else about sexual partners. So only two participants also asked if they were using protection with these previous partners. That really wasn't the focus of these sexual history conversations. And a slightly different picture emerged for the women who were not in long-term relationships, who were having casual partners. And most of these participants did not talk about sexual history. Sexual history was not something that was acceptable to bring up with a casual partner. And this is an example from Tina, who was 22 and single. And she's trying to describe kind of why you would not want to talk about sexual history with a casual partner. She says, "So it's just a part of me where they don't know anything about me, and they don't know what my relationship status is or what my sexual history is, and that's what we're here for, this particular interaction." And a big part of this, the women would go on to say, was actually related to the gender norms. So they felt that when they were trying to open themselves up for conversations about sexual history, that unfortunately there would be a lot of assumptions and a lot of judgments made about them as young women if they had to volunteer their number of sexual partners. It wasn't considered a safe space for them as young women. In terms of discussions about concurrent behaviors, and I'm going to use the term infidelity because that's how the young women kind of see these acts, most of the women had never discussed the possibility of infidelity. In fact, they said to me things that they just never would even have expected to happen. I had one participant who was like, "I have never thought of this ever before until you just asked me that question." And it really had no bearing in terms of the length of relationship status. That wasn't why they had this sense of infidelity could not happen in my relationship. And so these discussions were just really incredibly uncommon among participants. And when they did talk about infidelity, it was really just to establish kind of boundaries. So at the beginning of a relationship, they would maybe verbally define monogamy as expected. They had things where they would say, you know, "My partner told me if that I ever cheated on him, it would end the relationship." And kind of that was what the conversations were about in terms of discussing this. Two women told me that they never actually talked about it with their partner, but they were 100% confident that their partner would never cheat. They didn't need to have the conversation about it because they knew that it wouldn't happen in their relationship. And no woman described to me how that they maintained this conversation. So even the people who kind of initially had said, "We are going to be monogamous," there was never any type of long-term conversations taking place in the relationship after that initial conversation. So then thinking about how these conversations are impacting people's behavior, and I think that's a really important thing when we talk about conversations. No woman described to me changing her decision to have sex with a partner based on this conversation. No woman described to me choosing to use a condom with a partner based upon these conversations. They really weren't affecting their decision making around these subsequent sexual acts at all. In fact, a lot of people use the conversations about testing to pave the way for condom discontinuation. So after they had established that their partner was clean, they did not use condoms. And the possibility of infidelity in particular was something that was really not a part of their risk assessment. It was something that really wasn't even on their radar in terms of affecting their decision making around behaviors and condom use. And what I really saw was that the condom use was really based upon kind of this overall pattern of use in the context of the situation. So you had women who wanted to use condoms and women who didn't. And they'd really kind of made their decision before they even engaged in any conversations around these sexual health topics. So I'm almost out of time, but I want to go through a couple of discussion points because I think there are a lot of important implications for this study. Really, I think there are very clear barriers that come out to promoting STI testing. Most people are not talking about testing at all. If they do have the conversations, they're extremely superficial, they're extremely vague, and you have this kind of underlying assumption to all the conversations that monogamy is something that is assumed and is going to be taking place in the relationships. I think these findings also show that gender inequalities are persistently interfering with young women's abilities to have these conversations, even if they do want to engage in the conversations. And as I mentioned before, kind of the reasons for having sex with a partner were very varied, and additionally, they were kind of cemented before the sexual health conversations took place. So the sexual health conversations were just used to reinforce decisions that had already really been made. What I think we need to do as a public health community is develop tips and tools for interpersonal discussions. So the young adults need detailed guides to what they should be talking about, how they should be having these, what are concrete examples of conversations that they can have with their partners to assess their risk. Some possible messages could be, You don't have to talk if you're getting tested. This is obviously something that people are struggling with, so maybe we can use this as an avenue to link them to testing. In promoting just routine testing as part of something that your own healthcare process, so it doesn't have as much kind of burden to it when it's in a conversation. I also think that targeting women's empowerment, I would love to see some innovative approaches to affirmative consent models that talk about these sexual health conversations. How can we link affirmative consent to talking about STI testing in a way that's really empowering for these young women? I do want to give a note of caution. I think this research really shows that there's an unclear link between conversations and behavior change. So before we go out and we tell everybody, talk about testing, I think we really need to understand more how these conversations are affecting people's behavior change and whether or not this is the best way to get people to make really empowered decisions around condom use in their relationships. So thank you for your time. I really appreciate it. I'm not sure if I have time for questions. I might have used up all my time. Okay. Thank you.